The following program is underwritten by the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. Welcome to Humanities Connection, a production of WFDU-FM and the New Jersey Council for the Humanities. I'm Bob Mann. In just a few minutes, you'll hear my conversation with Verissa McMickens-Blair. She's executive director of the Roebling Museum. But first, a segment about an upcoming documentary film about a unique story. It was a sign of hope, like Noah's Ark. That's how one person in Newark described something called Kia's Ark. An artist in the 1980s actually took it upon herself to build an ark in Newark's Central Ward. Years ago, we talked about this on the air in another context. It's called Kia's Ark. It's also the name of a documentary now in production about this unique story. And on the program to talk about it is Susan Waldner. She's producer-director for PCK Media, also co-series producer for State of the Arts, which is seen here in the New York market on WNET Channel 13, in the Philadelphia market on WHYY, and also on NJTV. Susan, thank you for taking the time to be on Humanities Connection.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about Kia to begin with. An ark, I mean, the show that we did was back around 2011, 2012, so I think this is totally fresh to our audience. An ark in the middle of Newark, what was this all about?
It was something that no one had ever seen before or since, I think. She chose the highest spot of Newark, which happened to be right smack in the middle of the Central Ward, which, if you know anything about Newark, you'll know was the heart of where the late 1960s riots had really, really devastated the city. So buildings had come down, there were empty lots everywhere, and in the middle of all this sort of ruin she builds a three-story high, 86-foot-long boat.
Why? Why did
That's
she do this?
That's the question, right? I think that I never saw it, but I've seen, I've seen footage of it, photographs, talked to people who saw it. She was a person who had a strong desire to create and to build and to make use of. She was working as a demolition. She would tear down buildings. She was tearing down buildings that were built in the 19th century. They were gorgeous. They were full of beautiful wood and materials that she wanted to build something out of. So she began to teach herself how to build an ark, a boat. And she started building it and built it for years before the city took notice and said, "What is this? We don't want this here."
And there are people who you've interviewed who are in this documentary and in a piece that was done for State of the Arts who said at first they thought it was crazy. And they used the word crazy. I know that's a pejorative, but they said they admitted they thought it was crazy. And then it became a sign of the neighborhood, a sign of a rebirth.
It was, I think there was something about her that even though she was definitely eccentric, she could be gruff, she could be intimidating to people, but there was something about her single-minded focus and her drive that people really ended up responding to, I think.
Let's talk about the evolution of this documentary, because Kia's arc as a story is probably much better told in your documentary than it would be in this interview. So let's switch gears to talk about the film itself. I introduced you as co-series producer of State of the Arts. You told me before we went on the air that the State of the Arts actually was a catalyst, either a story that was done there or some research done there that led to this documentary now in production. Tell the audience about that.
Yes, that's right. And I think, if you don't mind, I'll just start at the beginning, because State of the Arts is a program that has been funded by the New Jersey State Council of the Arts since the mid-'80s, actually, and has been going on as a covering the arts in New Jersey for over 30 years. And in this time, stories that are done, and usually the stories are, you know, between 3 and 10 minutes. They're short stories. But over the years, different producers who have worked on the show have come across topics that are New Jersey topics, but that deserve to be told in a longer way, perhaps a more long-form way, getting more into the research and the original research and documentation. And so we've had documentaries that have come out of State of the Arts, and I think this is an example of that. I did a story about an exhibit that was at Gallery of Pharaoh, which is a gallery in Newark, New Jersey. It was a project that was a collaboration between Gallery of Pharaoh and the Clement Price Institute for Ethnicity, Culture, and the Modern Experience at Rutgers University, Newark, which is a handful. But they put on an exhibit with images and some of the existing, you know, still existing artwork of Kia Tawana, and it so intrigued me, and it was obvious that there was so much that was still unknown or untold about the story that I decided to not only do the short story, which is on our website and you can see it, but to go further, to do more exploring, and that's what we've done.
As a broadcaster, as a media professor, I sometimes do a short-form interview like this and say, wow, there was so much more that could be said. So I really can relate to that concept. But if you can share with the audience a little bit of what you felt was the storyline that needed to be told that couldn't be in a 5-minute piece, that just wasn't contained in what we call ENG packages but had to be a documentary film.
Well, I think that there was something about the story. It was almost that people were bringing to one of the things that Gallery of Pharaoh did, which I thought was wonderful, was they invited people from the community to share their memories of the Ark. And a lot came out from that. And it there was obvious that there was more story to be told. And so we started going down some of those sort of paths. And also there was Kia's work that had never been shown to the public before as well. Photographs that she took, drawings that she made, even things that she had created. So I think that it was still an unknown story, and the research was just beginning in this particular case.
And there's so much more to Kia Tawana than just the Ark, even though that is such an interesting and unique story. Unique is a word that is abused, but this is unique as far as anything I've been exposed to.
Absolutely.
But you, Susan, wrote these words: Kia Tawana responded creatively to her circumstances. I think she was a truly brilliant person, caught in a life without many opportunities. What do you mean that she had a life without opportunities but yet responded creatively?
Well, I think that like many other artists who are called self-taught or possibly outsider, I mean, there are different words for this, but people who sort of teach themselves how to create or to make things. And I think that there's a wonderful Bill Traylor show right now at the Smithsonian, you know, the first slave person who was born a slave who now has an exhibit in our national galleries. She was somebody who had a very hard life. There's very little known about her background. She was on her own from the age of 13, apparently. She worked her way across the country building. She was also a trans woman. She chose to be a woman during a time when people weren't familiar with that concept. She chose to live as a woman, although she had been born a man. So this was something that she had a life that was full of. She had to be brave. She had to be strong. She had to fend for herself. And nobody's 100% sure of even where she came from.
Although
so
the Brooklyn is part
create,
of
she had to create her past, but then she found herself in situations where if she wasn't going to be beaten down or just live completely on the margins, she wanted to make something of meaning in the world.
You were saying, Susan, people aren't even sure where she came from, but I understand that there were packs, little things that she put together of places other than Newark where she'd been. Brooklyn was one of them. Port Jervis was another. She had been around and had some means of documenting that.
Yes. Port Jervis is a wonderful part of the story that I think was less known before we started this documentary. She lived the last, I think about 10 years, in Port Jervis, New York, which is a small town on the river, sort of near the Delaware Water Gap. And it was a time in a life that was full of trouble and sort of hard work. It was sort of her retirement in a funny way. It was like she was part of a community that accepted her. She was friends with a gallery owner who gave her some exhibits. She had made stained glass windows, for instance, out of material she had found, stained glass windows that had been, you know, part of her demo jobs, or that she had found pieces of glass elsewhere, and she created her own original stained glass windows. They gave her an exhibit of these. She made furniture from cast-off, wood, and she was part of sort of the local community in a very friendly and accepting way that maybe she wasn't able to find in a big city like Newark or even Brooklyn.
One of the things that producers and directors can't stand is when they're in post-production and an interviewer says, "When are we going to see this?" But I have to ask you. I have to ask you because there are so many headaches in post-production. But when are we going to see this?
All right. So right now, there is a website. Well, it's a page on our website that you can get to at kias-arc.com, and that will be the place where all the news of when it's going to be online and on air will be. There will be a 5-minute short produced in probably mid-December, and then a longer piece which will come out sometime in probably the first half of 2019, which will be, I'm hoping, half an hour. Definitely longer, and the exact length is yet to be determined.
When you work in television and you have to take all this information and tighten it up into, as I say, they're referred to as packages for TV, do you feel a freedom as a documentary producer, director, or just a greater burden? How do you feel about the difference between the two different media, the two different genres?
I like both, but I think that I love the long form because I like being able to really delve into and immerse myself in material and not have to condense it. I mean, condensing it serves a beautiful function because you can't spend your life watching half-hour, hour, 90-minute documentaries all the time. It's wonderful to sort of get a sense of a project from a short piece. But sure, I like the long documentaries a lot.
I thank you very much for taking the time. Kia's Arc, you know where you're going to be able to find it, and I thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. And I also wanted to say that the New Jersey Council for the Humanities has been an incredible supporter of this project, and they've been a great supporter of State of the Arts, too, over the years.
Thank you so much for saying that. Susan Wallner from PCK Media.